everyone, and welcome to Workforce and Business Development Committee hearing. I call this meeting to order, and this meeting is being conducted pursuant to Rule 10.01. This meeting can be viewed on the House webcast. And please, for members and the members of the public with us today, make sure that your mics are muted. With that, I'd like to ask Mr. Jason Chavez, the Committee Legislative Assistant, to now take the role.
Chair Noor.
Present.
Chair Noor, present. Vice Chair Jay Zhong.
Present.
Vice Chair Jay Zhong, present. Lead Hamilton.
Present.
Lead Hamilton, present. Baker. Baker. Gavney. Gavney. Frankie. Frankie.
Frankie, present.
Frankie, present. Greenman.
Present.
Greenman, present. Haley. Haley. Juergens.
Juergens, present.
Juergens, present. Cagle.
Present.
Cagle, present. Katiza Watun.
Present.
Katiza Watun, present. Olson.
Present.
Olson, present. Tujong.
Present.
Tujong, present. Baker. Baker. Daphne, Daphne, Haley, Haley. Mr. Chair, we have quorum.
Members, there's a quorum present. With that, Vice Chair Jay Zhong, did you want to approve the minutes or move the minutes for April 7th?
I'll move, Mr. Chair.
Vice Chair Jay Zhong moves the approval for the minutes of April 7, 2021. Any discussions? Any discussions? See none. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? See none. The motion prevails and the minutes for April 7th, 2021 is now approved. Members, this is now the opportunity for us to go through the amendments to the DE for our omnibus bill. This is not going to be our last meeting for us because we will be coming back to have informational hearings and other hearings that may be necessary. But I just wanted to appreciate all of you for the work that we've done together. So this is not the end of the road. This is just the beginning of the work that we've been working collaboratively based on our vision. So with that, I just wanted to ask Vice Chair Jay Zhong to take on, and we'll be presenting the omnibus bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We have House File 1342. Would you like to make a motion and introduce your amendment, Mr. Chair?
Thank you, Chair Zhong. I would like to move House File 1342 to be re-referred to Ways and Means. And Mr. Chair, I do have an amendment to the bill.
Do your amendment, Mr. Chair.
I do have a DE amendment to the bill. That is the A21-0147. I'd like to move that DE before us.
I believe we also have amendments to the amendment?
That's correct, Mr. Chair. I do have the author's amendment to the DE. Mr. Chair, I would like to move A13 at this moment.
To your amendment, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Chair Zhong and members. I know we have discussed several components about the bill as we have been making some changes to the DE bill that is before you. Some of the adjustment is moving some of the funding from one bucket to the other based on the recommendation that we've had during the hearings, and also increasing some of the percentages for the department so they can administer the programs. We also have some technical corrections. We included the language that Lead Hamilton inquired about the Launch Minnesota. We also made some changes that were inquired during our conversation previously, in regards to the paid family medical leave. One of the instances was the Social Security offset. We've incorporated some other changes into the UI, which were left out of the DE bill. Mr. Chair, we have also included the flexibility for the workforce development realignment and giving latitude to the department and the workforce boards have requested us to take action. And so we also made some technical corrections to the JCF, the business subsidy extension during the states of emergency. And Mr. Chair, that is the DE, A13 amendment to the DE.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Any further discussion? Representative Hamilton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm Chair Noor. I just want to say thank you specifically for page 3, lines 3.23, 3.27, for making those changes. When we were reading that initially and it said lesser priority would be placed on certain entities, again, that that was a difficult one for us. And I simply want to say thank you for the change.
Any further discussion?
Mr. Chair, I just wanted to thank Lead Hamilton for presenting that. In fact, we also included people with disabilities, which we often not include them in the conversation when it comes to funding. So that is included now as part of the DE.
Mr. Chair, before we move to the vote on the amendment, I just wanted to confirm that Representative Dabney and Representative Baker have both joined the meeting.
Thank you, Mr. Reese. Any further discussion on the amendment to the amendment? Hearing none, those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? The motion prevails. The amendment to the amendment is adopted. Next, we have another amendment to the amendment. The A11, Representative Cagle. Is Representative Cagle here?
Sorry, I'm having some technical difficulties.
To your amendment, Representative Cagle.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. The A11 amendment is the Getting to Work program.
You muted yourself, Representative Kago.
Thank you. So the A11 amendment is the Getting to Work program. It supports working families and is an important investment in the Minnesota workforce. The Getting to Work program is a competitive grant program that supports nonprofit vehicle programs offering low interest vehicle loans or leases, affordable car repairs, or donated vehicles to low income individuals who need a car to get to work. As a competitive grant program, this program helps expand successful nonprofit vehicle programs and launch new ones in areas of the state where they're most needed. The Getting to Work pilot program was created by the legislature in 2017 and funded with one-time appropriation of $200,000. This appropriation funded 6 grants to nonprofit vehicle programs around the state and benefited over 400 families who were able to find a job, keep a job, and increase hours or income because this program helped them with transportation they needed to get to work. The financial stress caused by the COVID epidemic caused many families to lose income, run through their savings, or even take a hit to their credit score, which is why the assistance to low-cost vehicles and vehicle repairs and low-interest loans is even more critical. The upset to our workforce also means that many people are looking for new jobs, and a personal vehicle is an incredibly significant advantage in the job market. And I know I've had conversations with the chair about this as well. It's a very, very important program that's had bipartisan support since its inception. And I know we've talked a little bit about where the funding should come from. And so I just really wanted to raise the issue of the Getting to Work program, how important it is for our workers in Minnesota. And I really am hopeful that the department can find some resources for this program through the through some of the federal money that is going to be coming in. And so I wanted to offer the amendment, but I will be withdrawing the amendment at this moment.
Okay, thank you, Representative Cago. Any further discussion on the Cago amendment to the amendment?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Orr.
Thank you so much. I think this is an important program, especially with so many people who have been laid off at no fault of their own, who are struggling. In fact, the data from yesterday that pointed out while the transportation, we see so many individuals who are on the road, the ride share and also some of the public transit still hasn't seen an increase. So that shows where the inequities that exist. And I think we will be able to find resources through DEED. We're looking forward to those innovative ideas to support everyone who needs to get back to work. I know we cannot be discussing federal funds. I'm hoping that the department will be looking in ways to provide that support to those who need to get back to work. So I appreciate Representative Cagle for bringing this bill forward, and I look forward to asking for resources that are not allocated at this moment. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I am just being told by staff that there are three testifiers to the bill. And so if the witnesses would come forward, the first one is Ms. Renee Dossman. Please identify yourself for the record and proceed.
Thank you, Chair Noor. And committee. My name is Renee Dossman. I'm the president of the Neighborhood Development Center. And I'm just really grateful. Just wanted to start off my testimony in gratitude. Thank you, Representative Greenman, for your support of our bill as well, and this entire committee. I just wanted to share a picture to kind of outline what we are doing in NDC. So this is a picture of our new building on the corner of University and Dale, down the street from where you guys will hopefully be able to convene all together. And this is a project that we've been working on for many years, and it's come together now, and it's going to be an incubator space on the bottom. And this, the woman right here, her name's LaShante Grigsby, and she's actually the owner of Flava Coffee. And she is going to be, she's our first tenant. She's signing her lease. And it was a very exciting day. She actually wants to be her entrepreneurship. She's an entrepreneur that wants to have youth work in her shop. And so what NDC has done, LaShante is going to go through the full gamut for everything that NDC offers. She's doing training right now, participating in our training program. She's getting technical assistance. Because she's starting a coffee shop and it's her first one, her first business, she's a startup. We actually paired her with another entrepreneur that's been in our program, Michael Wright for Golden Time Coffee. And he's gonna be her mentor and help guide her through this process. She's also gonna be looking for funding, and we're getting her ready to be able to get one of our loans. And then she's got her incubator space. And so that space, thanks to you all, is going to have the incubator spaces on the bottom, a couple floors for NDC's offices, but primarily we're gonna have a training center, and then there's low income housing, 40 units of low income housing that's gonna be on the top, managed by Wellington. But I just wanted to share LaShante's story. She's also, her mom's moved here from Detroit to help her with the business. So it's really, they're really latching on to and creating this generational wealth that we've talked so much about. And I just want you to know that we really do appreciate the support that you offer to NDC, and we will be, and we're excited to see other people in the bill as well, other organizations that are doing this work. But I wanted to give you a real life example of someone who's benefiting from that, as well as we've just recently purchased a property on the corner of Lake in Chicago as well. The rubble's been removed. We are looking to bring some additional entrepreneurs, potentially have ownership of their space in that building. Also looking forward, Representative Hamilton, to working with you on our Greater Minnesota efforts as it relates to Worthington. So just here in gratitude, and thank you so much for your support of our organization and those that we serve.
Thank you for sharing those stories, Ms. Dossman. Any questions for Ms. Dossman? Okay. Next is Kate Barr from Propel Nonprofits. Please identify yourself for the record and proceed.
Thank you, Chair Noor and members of the committee. My name is Kate Barr. I'm the president of Propel Nonprofits. And I'm grateful to this committee for including funding in this bill for Propel to continue and expand the nonprofit infrastructure grant program, which provides capacity building grants and related technical assistance to small, culturally specific nonprofits that primarily serve historically underserved cultural communities. I want to also thank Representative Tushong for serving as the chief author this year and to lead Hamilton for being the chief author in 2017 when this program was created. The program was created in response to an identified gap in support for culturally specific nonprofits. And the Coalition of Asian American Leaders worked with a coalition of 40 plus multiracial organizations around the state who supported the program. Both in 2017 and again in 2019, we've worked in partnership with DEED through these grants and technical assistance to build the organizational capacity and create jobs at grantee nonprofits. When these nonprofits are strengthened, the communities they serve benefit from expanded services and support. The 33 organizations that have received grants to the program are located around the state and have made great progress in building their capacity, expanding program services, and adding jobs at their organizations. We're very pleased with DEED's commitment to inclusive grant making and look forward to supporting this priority through our continued partnership. Small nonprofits, especially culturally specific nonprofits, face barriers in accessing grants with state agencies. So this program was designed to be a path for readiness for direct state funding. We've seen how these organizations have been responsive and essential in their communities, especially over this past year of multiple crises, and how they flourish with support for infrastructure, adequate staffing, and operational systems. And with the technical assistance they receive in fiscal and grants management, they report to us that they've developed the capacity to manage state grants in the future on their own. Demand for the program, though, has been high, and we were only able to support 10% of the applicants with the funds we had available in 2019. We will more than double the number of nonprofits around the state we can support with this proposed funding. We know that this approach to strengthening nonprofit infrastructure. Yes, we know that this is strengthens inclusion in the state, reduces disparity, and we thank you for your support. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Barr. Next is Peter Rose from the Council for Minnesotans of African Heritage. Please identify yourself for the record and proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Vice Chair and members, my name is Theodore Rose, and I serve as Legislative and Policy Director for the Council for Minnesotans of African Heritage. I'm satisfied today to express the Council's support for the DE amendment to House File 1342. We would like to thank your committee for consideration and inclusion of the funding and policy proposals that respond to three key structural economic problems. One, high unemployment, irregular unemployment, and low wages. Two, inadequate finance capital for business enterprise development. And three, want of the skills development opportunities that drive economic ingenuity and mobility. We're especially grateful for your focus on addressing the ways these challenges are experienced by the African heritage community and other communities of color. We have submitted written testimony highlighting some of the bill's important provisions. So here I just want to encourage the committee to take further steps to ensure success of the following bill proposals. First is the Promise Act, House File 6. Also, the Women of Color Opportunity Act, House File 389. Ujamaa Place, House File 612. The Redevelopment Appropriation and Bond Issuance for Areas Damaged by Civil Unrest, House File 728. Philando Castile, Omnibus Bill to Combat Systemic Racism, House File 874. And also the African Economic Development Solution Bill, which is House File 875. Mr. Chair and members, all Minnesotans are coping with economic uncertainty. However, African Heritage Minnesotans and other underserved communities face unique challenges that require targeted legislation. We believe the provisions in the omnibus and the aforementioned bills will help the state take major steps to address the needs of the community. We thank you for your leadership in this work, and that will end my testimony. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Barr. Next, we have the A21-0149 amendment to the amendment. I believe this is Representative Hamilton's amendment. Representative Hamilton,
yes. Your amendment. Yes, Mr. Chairman. And Mr. Chairman, I just want to reiterate, if I turn on my video, then my screen will lock up and freeze on me. So I mean absolutely no disrespect to you or anybody else on the call. Mr. Chairman, the A21 amendment -0149, this was brought to me by Representative Bjorn Olson, and it provides business consulting, training, and mentoring for a number of southern Minnesota counties. It was included in the 2019 Workforce Omnibus Bill, and former representative and chair, Representative Bob Gunther, was a champion on this in previous years. Mr. Chairman, this would allocate $175,000 each year from the Workforce Development Fund for a grant to the Regional Center for Entrepreneurial Facilitation. And Mr. Chairman, I believe there's an individual here that's wanting to testify, and I'd like to turn it over to the testifier at this time. Just remind my testifiers that try to keep your comments around 2 minutes. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Representative Hamilton. Mr. Stading, please identify yourself for the record and proceed.
Thank you very much. My name is Brian Stading. I'm the Executive Director of the Regional Center for Entrepreneurial Facilitation, the RCEF office. And first, I'd like to thank Mr. Chair and members of the committee for this opportunity to speak, and Representative Hamilton for carrying. I'm the Executive Director, as I mentioned. RCEF has been serving small businesses and the creation of jobs in South Central Minnesota's Region 9 for the last 23 years, of which I have had the privilege of leading and serving for the last 16 years. We rely on the support of the state funding to offer our services to small businesses and entrepreneurs as a free and confidential service. In 2019, we were supported through the Workforce Omnibus Bill, for which we are very grateful. The last year has brought significant challenges to rural small businesses during the COVID-19. It has been a challenging time for everyone, but especially our small businesses. Through this funding support we received through the state of Minnesota, we will be able to receive and able to guide our clients through these uncertain times. Through our offices, again, we serve 9 counties. Our base performance metrics are consulting hours, number of entrepreneurs served, and with an emphasis on the underserved, which includes our recent immigrants, women, and our student population. For fiscal year 20 and 21, our goal was set at serving 639 clients. I am proud to say we exceeded that objective by serving to date 685 clients. On an average, we strive to keep our return on investment to approximately $850 per job saved or created, which speaks very effective for our boots on the ground approach to helping our rural counties. We are asking for your continued support to carry on our legacy of supporting small businesses in the communities of Southern Minnesota. And quoting Commissioner Grove's letter to the committee, that's where the need is the greatest and the biggest upside is for job creation. That is what we do at RCF, and with your support and your continued, so we can continue our mission to support our rural communities. So on behalf of RCF and the counties of Southern Minnesota, I want to thank you for your time and would ask for your continued support for Southern Minnesota and the small businesses through the Regional Center for Entrepreneurial Facilitation. Thank you.
Any further discussion to the amendment? Representative Hamilton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would simply ask for your support. Thank you.
Chair Noor.
Thank you so much. I deeply understand. I think we have to be able to support the businesses, especially in Greater Minnesota. Quite frankly, in this bill, we have dedicated. Chair Davney's. Thank you. I believe that we've put some dedicated funds to support business development, especially in Greater Minnesota. And quite frankly, as I've talked about the Workforce Development Fund, that I've stated earlier on that we have been dipping into this funding, not only for workforce development, but also creating a pot for business development, which is not the intent for the workforce development. And from the beginning, I think I made a commitment that we will avoid any direct appropriation that comes from the workforce development. And this is very much aligned with that. I would like to see more resources going to the Greater Minnesota Business Development. And we're committed to that. In fact, our bill establishes grants because many businesses have been impacted. And we're hopeful that the regions that need help will get the right help through the resource that we're doing allocation. So I will not be supporting this amendment at this time.
Any further discussion? There are none. Those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed?
No.
No.
The motion does not prevail. The amendment to the amendment is not adopted. Next is the A5 amendment, another Hamilton amendment. Representative Hamilton, to your amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And what this amendment does on page 3, line 25 after business, it inserts or businesses owned by persons with disabilities. I've got a passion for people with disabilities. And Mr. Chairman, Chair Noor brought that up earlier about including, you know, let's not forget about people with disabilities. I would once again ask for your support on this amendment, the A5 amendment.
Any further discussion to the amendment to the amendment? Representative Noor?
Mr. Chair, as I stated a few minutes ago, we're putting resources where it's needed and supporting individuals with disabilities will be included in this. So I support this amendment.
Any more discussion? If not.
Thank you, Chair Noor. I'm sorry. Chair Zhang, and thank you, Chair Noor, for your support. Thank you.
All right. Those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion prevails. The amendment to the amendment is adopted. Next is the A6 amendment, also authored by Representative Hamilton. To your amendment, Representative Hamilton.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I brought this up, raised this concern here on Wednesday. And this pertains to the Quality Child Care Program. And Mr. Chairman, when this program was set up, if you would scroll down on the amendment, the author's DE amendment, and go to lines 24.33, the existing law split these funds up, 60% went to the 80 counties in Greater Minnesota and 40% went to the 7 counties in the metro area here. And so, basically, what this amendment does is reverts the distribution of these funds back to the existing language on lines 24.33 and ask for your support.
Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And just to clarify, I think Ms. Representative Hamilton just described the A4, not the A6. Is that correct?
Oh, I did.
And that's fine.
I'm going to speak to the A4 when we're there. Is that where we're at?
I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman. Are we on the A4 or the A6?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, we're on the A6 currently. We may have skipped the A4 numerically, so I think the motion before us is the A6, and after this, we can revert back to the A4. So just to follow the numeric order.
All right, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Hamilton.
Chairman, yeah, Mr. Chairman, my apologies. On the A6 amendment, this is the language. What this amendment would do would delete the language around the Rosemont Wastewater Infrastructure Project. Mr. Chairman, I raised this concern. I've got a great deal of respect for Rosemont, for the individuals that are bringing this forward. What my concern was utilizing these dollars for wastewater infrastructure and subsequently have indeed get in the business of wastewater infrastructure projects. That was my concern. I raised it on Wednesday. I raised it again today. However, Mr. Chairman, I also understand the value that this could bring to for the city of Rosemont. I'm going to withdraw the A6 amendment at this time.
Representative Hamilton withdraws the A6 amendment. And so now let's go to the A4 amendment, which is also authored by Representative Hamilton. Representative Hamilton,
all right. Amendment. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I've already described this one. Again, it's the quality child care program. And so I won't reiterate what I said earlier. And I look forward to the testimony from Representative Olson. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And thank you, Representative Hamilton. I appreciate your advocacy for Greater Minnesota. As a Greater Minnesota legislator myself, I totally get what you're doing. I'll just note, though, that I don't support this amendment for a couple of reasons. So the original language with the 60-40 split only had $750,000 for childcare in that fund. And with Chair Knorr's bill, there's now $10 million, which obviously is going to be a great deal more for Greater Minnesota. And so we fare very well. And I would say the other thing as well, the 50-50 language came directly from the advocates who wanted this bill this way. So that $10 million and that 50-50 language was in my original bill that I think we all remember had a lot of support for Greater Minnesota. So I would honor their wishes in keeping that $10 million split the way it is. And then the third thing I would say is in Chair Knorr's bill, we also have $2 million going to the Initiative Foundations. And so that's specifically for Greater Minnesota. So I think we're doing pretty well in this bill. And so therefore I'd ask for members to vote no on this amendment.
Thank you, Representative Olson. Any further discussion on the A4 amendment to the amendment?
Mr. Chairman, I'd simply ask for your support.
All right, hearing no more further discussion, those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
The motion does not prevail. The amendment to the amendment is not adopted. Next is, you guys will have to.
I'm 87, Mr. Chair.
Okay, I have three scriptures, so I'm trying to. The A7 amendment, which is also an amendment being offered by Representative Hamilton. Representative Hamilton, to your amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And what this amendment does is on lines, page 66, lines 32, it deletes the words ethanol production from, and it goes on the next line from corn. And Mr. Chairman, you know, I'm very concerned, you know, the ethanol industry here in the state of Minnesota is a very, very integral part of the rural economy. And to single out the ethanol industry, not being eligible for these funds, is very disheartening. Mr. Chairman, we should be encouraging the industry to be looking for other ways to for ancillary businesses, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, it's interesting because we start to see some of the things taking place. We're actually pursuing making plastics out of renewable sources. So we don't have to rely on petroleum-based derivatives in order to manufacture these. And again, these can be some spin-off businesses that we're doing in other areas around biofuels, et cetera. but specifically to exclude ethanol production from corn, I believe is very disheartening. And Mr. Chairman, with your permission, I would like Amanda Billick to weigh in on this, who is representing the corn growers, if we could, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Representative Hamilton. Ms. Billick, please identify yourself for the record and proceed.
Mr. Chair, sorry, real quick, before we proceed, I apologize for interrupting. Just wanted to confirm that Representative Haley has now joined the meeting as well, just that she's on the meeting.
Welcome to the committee, Representative Haley. To the testifier, please identify yourself for the record and proceed.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Amanda Billick. I am the Public Policy Director for the Minnesota Corn Growers Association. I'd like to provide just a few comments in support of Representative Hamilton's amendment. The original language for Launch Minnesota in 2019 session law, it did include cellulosic ethanol as an example of high technology. The DE for House File 1342 proposes a new definition that would replace high technology with an innovative business, innovative technology in business. The proposed new definition for an innovative technology in business does propose to exclude ethanol production from corn, along with other types of businesses such as insurance, banking, lobbying, or political consulting. But excluding ethanol production from corn as an innovative technology or business could leave out several important opportunities for new business models or products, and that would include cellulosic ethanol. Cellulosic ethanol was included in the 2019 language, and excluding it now would also would exclude ethanol production from corn now would exclude cellulosic ethanol. It also could limit other new startup or manufacturing opportunities, as Hamilton was mentioning. Cellulosic ethanol is defined by federal law in the Renewable Fuel Standard, and it needs to reduce carbon emissions by at least 50% compared to gasoline, and it's also produced by turning the sugars in cellulose into ethanol. And you can utilize the fiber portion or cellulose of a corn kernel to produce cellulosic ethanol. And as I mentioned, this qualifies under federal law. It's also an opportunity for Minnesota's current 18 ethanol biorefineries to produce this additional renewable fuel, which would add efficiency to the existing production process and by producing more products from the same kernel of corn. It also can provide an economic opportunity for innovators in greater Minnesota. And this excluding it now could limit future economic opportunity. I also want to mention that the Minnesota Corn Growers has invested in research at the University of Minnesota Center for Sustainable Polymers. Researchers are working to develop new monomers and polymers that would expand the uses of corn-based sugars. These monomers and polymers, such as isoprene or polylactic acid, can replace petroleum in consumer goods and products, such as tires or plastic in food packaging. And these types of innovations are currently being researched in a lab, but when they're ready for commercial manufacturing, could be co-located at ethanol plants in Minnesota that are already utilizing the sugar found in corn to produce renewable fuel. Although those innovations might not be quite ready yet for commercialization, it's possible there could be new novel businesses that utilize the derivative product of ethanol to incorporate a new element into an existing product or a new use for that product or process. So excluding ethanol production from corn and the list of businesses from the Launch Minnesota program could limit innovation and economic opportunity for potential new novel businesses or products that could spring from promising research currently underway at the University of Minnesota. So I would encourage committee members to support Representative Hamilton's amendment. Thank you for the opportunity to highlight these issues with the committee this morning.
Thank you for your testimony. Any discussion? Representative Dabney.
Oops. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate this. I'm speaking against the Hamilton Amendment. I appreciate the innovations in the launch program that Chair Noor is proposing here, making this strategic investment available to more Minnesotans through some of the policy changes that he's proposing here. We've got some opportunities here to take limited state dollars and put them in places that are important and where innovation is occurring that don't have the level of public support that the corn ethanol industry has. We know that this is an area of our economy that has received significant federal government subsidies last year. The federal government put $46.5 billion into agriculture, significantly increasing farm net income over 2019 and that farm net income is expected to stay above 2019 levels because of those federal subsidies and market changes. There's also policy initiatives that are going on right now. Governor Walz is pushing hard for a 50% increase in the ethanol mandate in Minnesota gasoline, which again will drive more funding into the corn sector of our agricultural economy. So there's a number of other places where the federal and state government are supporting corn growing and ethanol production. I think we can use the launch program to incent and support innovation in other areas of our other areas of our economy that don't get the level of attention that corn agriculture does. So I would encourage a no vote on the Hamilton Amendment. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Representative Davini. Representative Hamilton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, I find it a little ironic. Back when Governor Walz was my congressman, he and I were invited to attend the Corn Growers National Convention, or excuse me, State Convention in Mankato. And we shared the stage that day. Governor Walz was being recognized for his work for the corn producers and ethanol production out in Washington, D.C., and myself for the work in St. Paul. And now to single out this industry and exclude them from being able to access these funds, I believe is goes against some of the initiatives that again, former Congressman and now Governor Walz was promoting. Mr. Chairman, I'm gonna ask for a roll call on this one, if you would please, and I ask for your support.
Representative Hamilton has requested for a roll call. Any further discussion on the A7 amendment to the amendments? If not, the clerk will take the roll.
Chair Noor?
No.
Chair Noor? No. Vice Chair Zhejiang?
No.
Vice Chair Zhejiang? No. Lead Hamilton?
Yes.
Lead Hamilton? Aye. Baker? Baker?
He appears to be having audio problems.
We can come back to the Representative Baker. Dabney?
Dabney, no.
Dabney, no. Frankie?
Frankie, aye.
Frankie, aye. Greenman?
Aye.
Greenman, no. Haley?
Haley, aye.
Haley, aye. Jurgens?
Jurgens, aye.
Jurgens, aye. Cagle?
No.
Cagle, no. Katiza Watoon?
No.
Katiza Watoon, no. Olson?
No.
Olson, no. Tujong?
No.
Tujong, no. Baker?
Baker, aye.
Baker, aye. Mr. Chair, the motion did not prevail with 5 no's and 8 ayes.
With 5 no's and 8 ayes, the motion does not prevail. The amendment to the amendment is not adopted. Up next.
Mr. Chair. I just wanted to check in with you the numbers. I think it was 8 no's and 5 ayes, I believe.
Yes.
8 no's and 5 ayes. The amendment to the amendment does not prevail. The motion is not adopted. Okay, so I need staff help right now because on a script I have A8 and on another script I have A9. Which one goes first?
Mr. Chair, the authors of the amendment requested that A9 be taken up before A8. So A9 is actually the next one at the request of the amendment authors.
Representative Frankie, to your amendment to A9.
Thank you, Chair Zhang. Thank you, Chair Noor, for the bill. I'm just going to start off by saying, as I sent out in my email, I am still just a little distressed that there's not one GOP policy named in this. I think if any bone was thrown to us, it would have been this ProStart program. The A9 amendment reinserts the ProStart program and doubles the funding. You know, I felt that throughout this whole process, throughout this whole committee, we talk a lot about the hardest hit, the most vulnerable. And I believe that the hospitality industry right now has been one of the most hardest hit. And the people that work in the hospitality industry are a majority of the employees are BIPOC or they are women. And I really think that a career in this industry needs to be supported and encouraged. One of the things, I was online the other day and noticed an ad for 3M. And I remember as a kid growing up that if your parents worked at 3M, you were making good money. And everybody strived to have a job like that. But the one thing that I noticed that the people in my industry are paying just as much right now to find good help in their kitchens as 3M is starting out in their production facilities. So my plan was to take this amendment, reinsert this language, and double the funding, because we really need to support this industry right now, and we need to offer and put forth the possibility that these are good careers and the training that's needed. So I really wanted to highlight that, but this is not my bill. This bill was authored by Representative Baker and supported by most people on this committee. So at this time, I will draw my amendment, but I just wanted to speak on how passionate I am and how I really feel that this needs to be inserted into this bill. So once again, I will draw this amendment. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Franke. Next is the A8 amendment, Representative Baker.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Again, kind of following up on Rep. Franke's comments. You know, and I understand what the chair's intentions were and are here. I mean, the Workforce Development Fund is important and it'll go to a lot of good places. But what I'm really struggling with here, everyone, is just the comments and the commitments we needed to make to the hospitality industry right now. So I'm disappointed that this didn't get in for $250,000. We couldn't even do something for the hospitality industry to give them a little money to help get some folks, juniors and seniors, kind of maybe exposed to the culinary side of things. I thought was about as easy as we could do. And I want to thank, six of my 11 authors on this were Democrats. And I am so grateful to have you on that bill with me. And especially you know, Chair Noor. And I know you know this is a good program, but I think this is about a philosophical decision and about a vocal decision that we need to make out of this committee, that we could take 250 grand out of this thing, commit it to this very successful pilot project that's teaching kids this industry, gives them a taste of it early on. I just don't know that it could have been an easier bill to sort of do. And I'm really asking for an exception here, because I know you wanted to just kind of take out those earmarks, you know, Chair Noor and is the lead author on this bill. But this one is different because we came into this thing knowing that this industry has been decimated. And I get it where if it would have been kind of a normal year, I get that. But this is different. And we should have done something a little bit off because of the commitment that we hear the governor saying all the time about how this industry, I know the pain, I feel the pain, they're still not even open to 100%. And I just think that this is so easy to do. And if it's the amount of money, let's do an oral amendment to do whatever it is. I just think we have to put something in your bill, Chair Noor, to say that this is an important thing, that this is the one thing we made an exception on. And I'm hoping that, you know, as small as it is, that our committee members will say, you know what, this is the right thing to do. Our environment is unusual today with this industry. And I just think that because of that, we can actually step away from the standard get in line and do what you're told and all these things. But you've got restaurants that actually would say, way to go, this is a really good vote. It's not a big ask. You know, we're not changing anything on the total dollars on the bottom line. But I think what it does is, and I'm sure somebody might say, well, ProStart has a very good chance of getting money out of the Workforce Development Fund. I get it. We probably will get more money. But my comment is, let's do it here. Let's give some assurance to the industry right here and right now. And I want when Chair Noor goes to the conference committee and fights for this, he has the ability to say, look, this was important to us over here too. I just think this is a different kind of a bill. It should have been bigger. But it's what we have been using with, and it's a great program. I urge the committee, and I'm going to ask for a roll call today, Mr. Chair, but I want to know where we're at on this, because this is just a different time in our world right now with this industry. Please do something like this to support our industry, to say this is important enough to kind of even make a little pivot off of what the chair's overall goal was coming into this committee. This is a reason to make a slight shift. So with that, Mr. Chair and others, I really ask your support for this amendment.
Thank you, Representative Baker. Any further discussion on the A8 amendment to the DE amendment?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Knorr.
I hear you, Representative Baker. And in fact, we should be supporting the hospitality industry with all that we can get. In fact, you and I worked on making sure that we do provide those immediate relief programs that we did, the payments that went straight to the hospitality industry, the money that went to the county so that they can really support those who have been hit hard by the COVID-19 pandemic, making sure that we support the hospitality industry. That was our commitment. In fact, it's still our commitment when it comes to the grant program that we initiated through this process, by making sure that those who have been impacted the most receive the assistance with the relief program that we have. In fact, they should be able to receive the funding from the workforce development program the way it's designed right now. In fact, those are things that we are prioritizing, ensuring that they can be part of the process. And we've resisted in including direct appropriation for so many great programs, knowing that they will be funded through the DEED process. We know that there is a significant amount of resources from the federal government that highlights, there's a big highlight that shows that we have to invest as a state or local government that have received the American Relief Fund for the hospitality industry. I know that we also have the Restaurant Revitalization Fund, which is already starting to make headways, that goes to the industry that have been impacted the most. We will, and I assure you that we will be able to provide the assistance through DEED, and we will be able to make sure that we prioritize the resources as soon as we get the guidance from the federal government. That's my assurance to you, because it's already listed as a priority for the American Relief Fund. So at this point, because we have resisted adding any direct appropriation to the Workforce Development Fund, we would like to keep it that way. And we will keep on having the conversation going forward and figuring out how to really support that industry, because they need the help. And we know we have resources to help them. And they may even get bigger amount than the small amount that you're asking for at this point. So I will be opposing this amendment for that purpose at this time.
Mr. Chair, I appreciate your cookie cutter approach, if you will, this year about this. It is understood that you don't want to make an exception, because then you're opening up a box that you don't want to say you weren't going to do. That was horrible English. Sorry about that. But I just know that I think your bill is missing that stamp for this industry. If, as small as it is, and as many other good programs that we saw, the stamp is missing on this bill for me to support it in other bills like this. I just think this was the one thing that I think could have been done. And again, I understand the argument. Maybe we will get more, but it's more hoops we got to jump through to go fight for this at the next step or next two steps. I just wanted the House to recognize somewhere in our work, somewhere in the tax bill. It's not in the tax bill yet. It could have been here in a committee that I served on, that I wanted to fight really hard for this industry. So again, with all due respect, Mr. Chair, I disagree with that commitment on this particular bill. I look forward to the roll call. And again, I just urge members' support, and thank you for the time.
Clerk will take the roll.
Chair Knorr?
No.
Chair Knorr, no. Vice Chair Jaejeong?
No.
Vice Chair Jaejeong, no. Lead Hamilton?
Yes.
Lead Hamilton, aye. Baker?
Aye.
Baker, aye. Dabney?
Dabney, no.
Dabney, no. Frankie?
Frankie, aye.
Frankie, aye. Greenman?
No.
Greenman, no. Haley?
Haley, aye.
Haley, aye. Jurgens?
Jurgens, aye.
Jurgens, aye. Cagle?
No.
Cagle, no. Katiza Watun? Katiza Watun? Olson?
No.
Olson, no. Toujon? Toujon?
No.
Toujon, no. Katiza Watun? Katiza Watun? Mr. Chair, the motion did not prevail with 5 ayes, 7 noes, 1 excused.
The 5 ayes, 7 noes, 1 excused. The amendment to the amendment is not adopted. Next is the A10 amendment. Representative Hamilton, to your amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Again, I just want to reiterate about the importance of the dislocated worker program. And I know the deputy commissioner was on here, and I've got a great deal of respect for the deputy commissioner as well. And even after the testimony, I still received calls from individuals saying we must protect the dislocated worker program. So I just cannot stress that enough. And Mr. Chairman, I ask for your support.
Any further discussion to the A10 amendment? There are none. Those in favor signify by saying aye.
Mr. Chair. President Nora. Thank you so much, Lead Hamilton. I know this is a very important program. And I know we still need to have the serious conversation. I have discussed the changes that were coming forward. In fact, I reached out through some of the other workforce development to sit down with some of the members of the Workforce Development Board who have shown that there is a cap. And quite frankly, I'm disappointed to some extent because we need to be more serious and be more objective in the goals that we're trying to achieve. This does not cut the resources for the dislocated worker program. In fact, we have seen the resources that exist. By putting more resources into that bucket means we will not be able to utilize for the intended purposes to address the significant unemployment barriers that exist in our state. This is an opportunity for us to show that we care and we're able to address the thousands of people who are unemployed. That's the core purpose of this resources. And quite frankly, this is a unique program for the state of Minnesota. The federal workforce development funds, dislocated funds, really addresses most of it, and it goes directly to the dislocated worker program. There's also other programs within the federal program that addresses, that goes directly through the workforce board. We need to have a serious conversation. If we are intending to make a difference, this is the moment. And this program, the way it's set up right now, addresses the core issues, whether you live in Kuchiching County or you live in Hennepin County or you live in Fillmore County, you will get the assistance as promised for the programs and making sure that we get people back to work. And that's the purpose of the program. We should emphasize that. We should support that. We should celebrate those changes that are meant to support those who need the most. So I appreciate the initiative, and I'll be asking for no vote at this time.
Thank you, Representative Nora. Any further discussion? Hearing none, those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed?
Aye. No.
No.
A motion does not prevail. The amendment to the amendment is not adopted. I believe that was the final amendment to the amendment, and now we are on the...
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Hamilton?
Mr. Chairman, I believe I still have the A14 amendment.
I don't see it on here, but to your amendment, Mr. Representative Hamilton.
Okay, Mr. Chairman. The A14 amendments, does anybody have a copy of the A14 amendment? Mr. Chairman or Chair Noor?
Yeah,
Yeah, Mr. Chair, it was distributed with all the other amendments this morning.
Okay. All right. Great. Yes. And I just received a text that it was posted on the website. So, Mr. Chairman, this amendment I had crafted after we heard the testimony from the Centers for Independent Living. And, you know, they do remarkable work. They're dedicated to working with and responding to the ever-changing needs of people with disabilities. And, you know, when we, before the lockdown, and every year we would have individuals from the centers and also the people that they serve come in and meet with us. And again, this is a very, very important endeavor. You know, they work to promote the societal acceptance and inclusion and equal access for all. And so, Mr. Chairman, I'm looking for that additional funding. And basically, this is modeled after the Wolgamott bill, which has bipartisan support again, fund the Center for Independent Living. And Mr. Chairman, I can't thank the individuals enough that work for the centers and also for all that they do for their clients. And so I would ask for your support, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chair, before we continue, I just clarify the confusion, my apologies. The A14 was posted. It was distributed. The problem was I didn't have it listed in the email that I sent out this morning under the list of amendments, but it has been posted. It was distributed. I just didn't have it in the detailed description of the actual amendment, or excuse me, of the actual email I sent out. So the A14 has been posted, was included. It just, my email to all of you this morning with the materials, it just wasn't on that list, but it was attached. So my apologies for the confusion, everyone.
Thank you, Mr. Reese.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Noor.
Indeed, we do have the A14. And I wanted to comment. I think we're going back to the same conversations about ensuring that we provide everyone that opportunity through the Workforce Development Fund. And quite frankly, this is a program that we all support. There's a significant amount of resources. If you look through the programs that we are meant to provide through the state that goes directly to individuals with disabilities, you need to look through the rehab programs that we have, the programs that we have through the Department of Human Services, the additional funding that comes for that purpose to the state is really significant. So what I'm trying to say here is, let's resist the urge to deep into the Workforce Development Fund. Let's focus on that purpose. If the individuals who qualify for the program, absolutely, they'll be served under the priorities that we put in there. So this is a moment that for us to really understand that we didn't have the additional target amounts to support this program, which we will have wished to receive. And with that, I'll be asking for a no vote for the same reasons that I've been stating from the beginning. And I'll appreciate your support on a no vote. So thank you.
Thank you, Representative Noor. Any further discussion on the A14 amendment to the DE amendment?
Mr. Chairman, I simply ask for your support. This is a very critical program. And again, I ask for your support. Thank you.
All right. Those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
No. No.
The motion does not prevail. The amendment to the amendment is not adopted. Any other amendments to the amendment that I may have missed? I'm seeing staff shaking his head saying no.
No, Mr. Chair, you covered them all. Again, apologies for the confusion.
That's all right. It's not your fault. I blame you on Chair Noor because he sent me an email which does not include it. And your email you sent me does include it, so I'm looking at two different scripts. Okay, so now on the amended DE amendment to the bill, any further discussion, Representative Noor?
Thank you so much. Members, we all ran to make sure that we serve our constituents. We all ran to make sure that we can provide the best, you know, the best to our constituents. Even with limited resources, we know COVID-19 pandemic has had a significant impact on workers, on businesses. this is a moment that we're showing that we're willing to take what it takes to support our workers so they can get back to work. This is a moment that we're showing that we're investing the state resources where it's needed. This is a moment that we're showing that we're supporting the workplace benefits, such as the paid family medical leaves, for those who want to take care of their babies, you know, for the young ones, for those who want to take care of themselves when they get sick, for those who want to take care of their loved ones when they need them, so they don't have to make a decision between work and paycheck. This is a moment with almost more than 250 companies who have signed a letter asking the federal government to implement the paid family medical leave. Members, we can do it. We can make a better living for every Minnesotan by providing them with the tools, the skills that they need to climb the ladder. We're not just talking about job placement, we're talking about careers so that we can encourage people to receive family sustaining wage. This is what we're doing in our bill. We're supporting families by providing the tools that they need for childcare, business development. We're not talking about the program itself. We tend to forget there's a difference between a business development and a service. And we have shown our commitment in this bill. We've had from many women who have said we cannot go back to work because we don't have access to quality childcare. This program that we've created helps to do that. When we invest in our businesses for more than $75 million as a direct investment, it's a significant investment that we should all be celebrating today. When we have seen the impact of the unemployment benefits for so many, this is why we do have those small reforms that are included. And we can't wait into the future. We have to take action now. We've had from the students, we've had from the Social Security recipients, we've had from the school workers, the hourly workers, whereby we've neglected them because of who they work for. If you're independent from another industry, you get to receive unemployment. But if you're an hourly worker, then you work for a district and you work through your programs. In fact, the federal government was reimbursing employer at 75%. So this is something that we need to reflect back and celebrate the greatness in this bill, and I'm asking for you to be supportive of the bill as amended so that we can help Minnesotans to thrive and see possibilities and probabilities that we can help them achieve their full potential. So thank you so much, Mr. Chair, and I'm asking for the member's support.
Thank you, Representative Noor. And so I believe the motion now is to vote on the amended DE amendment. So those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed?
Aye.
No.
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 The amended DE amendment is, motion prevails. The amendment is adopted. And now on to the amended DE amendment to House File 1342. Representative Noor, your motion is to refer to the Ways and Means Committee. Any further discussion?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As you mentioned, my motion is House File 1342 as amended be referred to Ways and Means. And that's the discussion that we're having now. And I think I'm asking again for your support and to look into the totality of what we have done collectively, our collective vision to allow Minnesotans to thrive and prosper economically and to be able to put food at the table by the end of the day. So thank you so much, Mr. Chen, ask for your support.
Discussions, Representative Hamilton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Chair Noor, you know, you and I had talked about the what's taken place as far as removing the earmarks. And we also talked about offline about potentially one missing step to have some type of additional oversight when it comes to how these funds will be allocated, the checks and balances that we should be looking for within DEED. And we have many examples, Mr. Chairman, whether it's the LCCMR or
the agree language in the agricultural bill, where the Department of Agriculture is working with the University of Minnesota, and there's a group of stakeholders that will advise them again on how these dollars should be allocated. So I'd like to further those conversations with you as this bill moves forward. And, you know, Mr. Chairman, Representative Baker spoke very passionately about, and also Representative Frankie, about helping out the hospitality industry. I hope that we're able to do that as we move forward as well. These individuals have been hit extremely hard to no fault of their own. And, you know, I understand the where we're wanting to go with the Paid Family Medical Leave Act. Some of the questions that I raised around that, again, these small businesses that have been hit so hard to add that additional expense. And Mr. Chairman, when a business closes out in rural Minnesota, the chances of it to reopen are slim to none. And so my question, when we were having with the author of the bill, it was just a meeting between a few of us. The question that I had was, you know, are we better having employment opportunities or no employment at all? And that's one of my concerns there, which is the overall cost to these businesses who are already struggling. So I'm wondering if there's some more work that we can do to address some of those concerns as well. Mr. Chairman, there's many good things in this bill as well. Again, you know, I thank you for the work that you're doing to support, you know, the BIPOC caucus, the BIPOC community, and the veterans and the disabled community, et cetera, and women entrepreneurs, Mr. Chairman. But unfortunately, because of some of the things that I just stated, I'm going to be a no vote today. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any further discussion? Hearing none, I believe the motion is now to vote on the motion is Representative Knorr.
If there's no any further discussion, I would like to renew my motion House File 1342 as amended be re-referred to Ways and Means, and nonpartisan committee staff are authorized to make any technical changes necessary to reflect the will of the committee. That's the motion that I'm making for the bill.
All right, the clerk will take the roll.
Jason, you're muted.
Oops. Chair Knorr?
Aye.
Chair Knorr, aye. Vice Chair Jaejong?
Aye.
Vice Chair Jaejong, aye. Lead Hamilton?
No.
No. Lead Hamilton, no. Baker?
No.
Baker, no. Gavney?
Gavney, aye.
Gavney, aye. Frankie?
No.
Frankie, no. Greenman? Greenman, aye. Yeah.
Hi.
Greenman, aye. Haley?
Haley, no.
Haley, no. Jurgens?
Jurgens, no.
Jurgens, no. Cagle?
Aye.
Cagle, aye. Katiza Watun?
Aye.
Katiza Watun, aye. Olson?
Aye.
Olson, aye. Tujong?
Aye.
Tujong, aye. Mr. Chair, with 5 ayes and 5 noes, the motion and bill has prevailed.
With 8 ayes and 5 noes, the motion prevails, the amended, the House File 1342 as amended will be referred to the Ways and Means Committee. And now I will return the gavel back to you, Chair Knorr.
Thank you, Chair Zhong. I think I wanted to appreciate the work that we have all collectively done again, especially to the nonpartisan staff for their great work and amazing work that they've done, and to also to the partisan staff who have done also an awesome job. With that, members, we will see each other hopefully soon, and this may be the last official meeting, but I am hopeful that we'll be coming together to do other hearings, which will help us, guide us, and to help our workers and businesses. So thank you so much. With that, I see no further discussion. And I just wanted to allow Lead Hamilton, if he has got any closing remarks.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I too would like to thank both partisan and nonpartisan staff. The help that we get around here is absolutely tremendous. And and we couldn't do this work without them. So again, I also want to appreciate Mr. Chairman. I always enjoy working with you and also Vice Chair Jung and the rest of the committee. I appreciate the very thoughtful discussion and dialogue. And, I look forward to working with you as we move forward. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you so much, Lynn Hamilton. I see no further agenda items before us, so the meeting is adjourned. Thank you so much, everyone.